Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence. My name is Walter Cruttenden and I'm here with my co-host Jeff Pitino.
How are you doing?
And we are here to talk about ancient history, evolution, and what's happening now on the planet. We have a very special guest today, Barbara Marks Hubbard, which we'll be bringing on after the break. And she has a very deep background in this whole idea of evolutionary consciousness or conscious evolution. And she'll be talking about that. Basically, Jeff and I work for the Binary Research Institute in Newport Beach, California, and it's there where we study the cycle known as the Great Year. Ancient cultures all over the world spoke of a cycle whereby there's a golden age at one end and a dark age at the other, and they said that history moves in this cycle, which Plato called the Great Year, or other cultures called worlds or suns or just the precession, the equinox. And whatever the case, the evidence is very significant. Giorgio de Santayana in his book Hamlet's Mill actually documented over 200 myths and folk stories about this great cycle coming from 30 different cultures. And so it's here at the Binary Research Institute where we study the mythology, the archaeology, the artifacts, and the celestial mechanics behind the cycle. And specifically, as far as the celestial mechanics go, we are focused on the idea that we find in myth and folklore that our sun has a companion star, and it is our motion around this companion star over very long periods of time which indirectly causes the rise and fall of civilization. So we've been studying that, and we find that not only did a lot of ancient cultures, such as the ancient Egyptians and Mithraic cultures and others, talk about it, but there seems to be a lot of fairly new evidence indicating that indeed the solar system may be curving through space, producing the observable known as the precession of the equinox. So, Jeff, if people want more information here, where do they go?
Yeah, if they want more information, they can go to our website, the Binary Research Institute website, which is binaryresearchinstitute.org. And that website encompasses all of our research and also talks about the CPAC conference, which we just finished up a couple months ago, and we'll be having another one next year, as well as your book, Lost Star of Myth and Time, and our film, The Great Year. So any information that people want about what we're doing at the Binary Research Institute, just visit the website, binaryresearchinstitute.org.
Yeah, speaking of CPAC, we just had a fabulous time. We had 11 different speakers from Graham Hancock, John Anthony West, John Daring, John Burke, a very interesting scientist who's been studying many of the ancient mounds and pyramids and finds that they have an electrostatic charge or magnetic anomalies. And even Jeff Marcy, the current professor of astronomy at UC Berkeley came and talked about exosolar planets. If any of you are interested in listening to those talks, where do they go, Jeff, to get that information?
You can actually buy the CDs and DVDs of the talks online at the conference website, which is cpaconline.com. That's cpaconline.com. And there's also a link to that on the Binary Research Institute website.
Or just keep listening to this show, Cosmic Influence, because it's our intent to try to have every speaker that we have at CPAC on this show at one time or another. And I think we've had maybe half of them so far.
Yeah, so we've got a few more to go. And we're also going to be interspersing other guests that we find interesting as well, that we think you'll find interesting.
Good. So let's give a little better introduction on Barbara before we bring her on here, Jeff.
Sure. Barbara Marks Hubbard is an author and public speaker and social innovator who I'm really excited to have on the show. She's also the president of the Foundation for Conscious Evolution, and she's initiated a guided educational program supported by different internet systems called the Gateway to Conscious Evolution, offering a new and developmental path toward the next stage of human evolution. Now, and it's now reaching over 1,000 people.
So we'll be bringing Barbara Marks Hubbard on here in just a few moments.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Good morning and welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Crittenden with co-host Jeff Pitino, and we would like to introduce a very special guest that we have with us today. She's actually a regular here on HealthyLife.net and an author and really one of the prime movers and shakers behind this idea of conscious evolution, which I find so fascinating. And our guest today is Barbara Marks Hubbard. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
I saw a little bit of your DVD. Actually, I saw the whole thing and was wondering how you got into this work in the very beginning. You have such a neat sense of wonderment and joy the way you approach the world.
Well, I got into it by the shock of the atomic bomb when I was 15 years old.
I read that story. That was when you said you then met Eisenhower after
that?
Yes,
because the question arose in my mind then, what is the meaning of our new power that's good? That is science, technology, industry, not only nuclear now, but biotech, nanotech, all of that. I mean, is it going towards our destruction, or is there something really new happening? When I met with President Eisenhower, it was 1952, he just entered the White House, and I said, Mr. President, what is the meaning of our new power that's good? And he looked completely shocked, and he said, I have no idea. And it started me on this quest to find a response, and in my search to find a response, I discovered the evolutionary process, because you really can't find a meaning for all this new power unless you see it has to do with the evolution of our species.
And that's one of your main themes today, is this that evolution seems to be reaching a critical mass. Is that correct?
That's correct. And when you're a student of evolution, first of all, you look back and you see for billions of years, nature has reached a certain limit, like from pre-life and it jumps to life, or from single-celled life to multi-cell, or animal to human. Each one of those is a jump into a new phase, new state, qualitatively new. I'm placing humanity in the next turn on the spiral, and I am looking at that past, seeing what's going to happen. In fact, what is happening is qualitatively new, even though it transcends and includes much of the old.
What do you mean by qualitatively new, then?
What did you say?
What do you mean by qualitatively new?
Well, I mean examples from the past that no matter how complex a molecule will be, a single cell is qualitatively different because it's sentient. Or an animal is qualitatively different than the most big single cell, and so on. The earliest humans are qualitatively different than the most intelligent animal. That means the quality and nature of their being has within it radically new possibilities. And what I see happening, and it has happened for the last few thousand years, is individuals have been born who have a qualitatively new consciousness, whether it be Buddha or Jesus or Muhammad or different great seers and mystics, but it's always been then captured in a religion or captured in a culture. And what I think is happening is we're facing a level of crisis such that millions of people like ourselves, who are not mystics or saints, are experiencing a jump in consciousness to a more connectivity with the whole and a deeper feeling of participation in the whole. And so I'm saying this is the birth of a universal human and a universal humanity.
And what is your understanding of the crises that we're facing today?
I have a simple metaphor. Our crisis is the birth process of a universal species. If you take the analogy, a baby in the womb will die if it continues to grow beyond the ninth month. The human species in a closed system Earth in self-consciousness with all this power and overpopulation and pollution will destroy itself. And we are being born toward a species that would be capable of co-evolving with nature. And that means restoring the Earth. One that could be co-creative with the tendency in evolution to higher order and higher consciousness. And so the crisis is literally pushing the species toward its maturation or its self-destruction.
Well, no doubt, you know, if you just look at the environment, the world, overpopulation, and all of the attributes of that, there's great concern and a need to change our ways. And of course, you know, politicians are always talking about that. It never seems like things happen quickly enough. But are you then envisioning some sort of a sudden change, or is this something that happens over time?
Well, the interesting thing is it has been building up, but it appears that we can't go on for hundreds of years doubling the population and polluting the environment and proliferating weapons of mass destruction. So there seems to be a built-in timing here for us to shift, like there is for a baby. Nobody knows exactly when the baby's going to be born, but it can't go 10, 11, 12 months. Nobody knows exactly what this shift point is, but if we were to double the population one more time, we would probably knock ourselves out. And if global warming continues, it looks like we could destroy much of our own environment. So we are being forced to hurry. The human race is pretty conservative. It doesn't change unless it has to.
So in this space of kind of needing to change, how should we respond to the crises that we're facing?
Well, I think for me the first thing is to place the crises in the context of giving birth to a more intelligent, spiritual, empathetic humanity, and see the crisis as pressing us towards something desirable. So in other words, it's a new story about the crisis. Secondly, it would be to look at what's already working to make this world viable, sustainable, and evolvable in health, in education, in energy. Find out what's working. And third would be for each person to find what their calling is within the emerging world. A new story, a looking and connecting up what's working, and finding your part in it. Those would be the three things. And the fourth thing is if you say yes to that, you begin to activate your own evolutionary spirituality, which is that impulse of creation. The creator within you begins to get turned on by your saying yes, and then you meet up with other people, you find more of your own potential, and as we shift from maximum procreation, we're moving into co-creation.
Is that something that you think we're going to be seeing more and more of then?
I do, and I think we already are. I mean, if you look at what the Internet is doing as networks are forming of like-minded people, and recently I've been hearing about Paul Hawkins' new effort, I think it's called Wiser Earth, in which he's mapped over 90,000 organizations in all different fields and how they connect with each other. And I think the Internet is our global nervous system, and with people like Paul Hawkins and others, they're beginning to find a way of organizing based on function and based on what works. And when I ran for vice president in 1984, I suggested a peace room as sophisticated as a war room to scan, form, map, connect, and communicate what's working. And I really think we're right one step from doing that.
I do, too. I think much of it is spontaneous in that you mentioned, what, 90,000 organizations are trying to help in some way. It's
Can you talk a bit louder, please?
Yes, I'll try to. Let me lean a little closer here. Mm-hmm. I'm a teenager from the 60s that's really kind of felt like something's been happening for quite some period of time here. And I've been trying to sort of figure out what it is. Mm-hmm. And there's many wonderful, inspiring philosophers, authors, human potential leaders such as yourself that are casting what's going on in one piece of language or another. And where my own work has taken us is that we see, looking at these ancient myths, these ancient cultures, that they talked about this cycle that the ancient Assyrians, Sumerians, Babylonians kind of knew they were going downhill, and sure enough, it went to dust, as it did in Harappa and Indus Valley and Mohenjo-Daro and ancient Egypt all around the world prior to the last Dark Ages. And now we seem to be going up. And while there's a lot of interesting phenomena that's happening and sort of accelerating our evolution here, I can't get away from the sense that it was somehow predicted. And I'm wondering if you've looked at it that way at all, Barbara.
It's really remarkable how, for example, the Mayan culture seems to have been very savvy about astronomy and how the stars work, and that the people who study the Egyptians feel that it's impossible that that could have happened just by the existing intelligence, and that there have been not only prophecies but possibly interaction with higher beings from advanced civilizations. Whether or not that's true, I do not know. But I was just talking with a woman yesterday who was trying to relate the ancient, like megaliths and Stonehenge and the knowledge of those ancient structures with the most advanced knowledge of our astronomy as now. And so I think we've had a hiatus of materialistic scientism. And that came after the church was so dominating and wouldn't allow science. So science has been separated from the church, separated from an understanding of the divine, because it didn't want to be controlled. And then, you know, not only was God supposedly making the mechanisms, but they threw God out, so you're left with mechanisms happening by accident. And the scientists develop, I think, a fundamentalism or prejudice against the idea of deeper process, deeper purpose, deeper spiritual reality as the subjective aspect of evolution. And what you're doing really fits with the very growing edge of the new science as well as the new psychology. So if that's so, it would relate a continuum of the past through this secular materialistic phase we've been in toward a co-creative phase that has as its essence the understanding of the spiritual nature of reality.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the things that science, especially over the last several hundred years, has really lost, which is a connection to the spiritual and a connection to the mystical, in the sense of it tries very hard to eliminate that. And in some senses, it's a necessary part of our understanding of the universe.
Well, it is, and I think science, just like the church went overboard and then tried to annihilate scientific method, the scientists have overreacted, and they annihilate even consciousness. They have trouble giving any definition of it, and think consciousness is an epiphenomenon of matter. But then they get down to the exquisite design of the first 3 seconds, and to call that an accident is really a cop-out. I mean, it's ridiculous.
That is one of the interesting things, because ultimately, like, in terms of looking for rational explanations, there really is no rational explanation for the Big Bang.
No. And to say that that first 3 seconds, which was so finely tuned as to make matter and life possible, was a random accident. I mean, it's one thing to talk about natural selection and chance mutations in the Darwinian level. I'm sure there is such a thing to some degree as natural selection. But to place that on the whole cosmogenesis as an explanation, it's a metaphysical preference. It's not provable, it's not falsifiable, and it's certainly not an absolute truth.
I hear you loud and clear. I'm very much a scientist, and I love good scientific evidence to support a position. But when you get back to the idea that everything came from nothing, something smaller than a speck of dust, you know, I haven't even seen a marble come from a speck of dust. I have a tough time with that.
Well, Barbara, we have to take a quick break, but when we get back, I'd like to touch back again on what you just mentioned, which is that first 3 seconds and the perfection of that.
Right.
So you're listening to The Cosmic Influence. I'm Jeff Pitino with our host, Walter Cruttenden, and we will be right back.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time in a bookstore near you.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with co-host Jeff Pitino, and we are speaking with our special guest today, Barbara Marks Hubbard. If any of you would like more information on Barbara or her work, please go to Barbara Marks Hubbard. Is that .com?
.com, yes.
.com. And she also has a separate website, evolve.org.
Yes.
And on that on those sites, you can find information about Barbara, her books, her programs, and about her new DVD, Humanity Ascending.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Barbara, in your DVD series, Humanity Ascending, A New Way Through Together, one of the things you talk about on the first show program is the perfection of that first 3 seconds of the Big Bang, how everything had to happen perfectly. Talk a little bit more about that, and then also moving on from there, do you see that perfection carrying through in the universe that's resulted from that today.
Yes, the latest understanding from the growing edge of science is that the fine tuning of those first 3 seconds was so precise to the billionth of a fraction. Whereas if it had been slightly faster, we would not have had matter. And slightly slower, it would never have risen into the galaxies. And that perfection is not understood. It's a mystery. Because if you don't posit an external creator God, deity, just like it does, let's say, in the creationism, and if you don't posit the accidental universe, you're left with a huge mystery that the current creationism or intelligent design theory is still very limited, because they're saying a creator God, a being, did this. But what we're really witnessing is that being itself is arising. And not only it's the first 3 seconds, but throughout the universe, they're saying there's an entanglement. So all the particles that have ever been in contact with one another are affected. And of course, since they all started out together, everything's connected with everything else in non-local universe. And I feel that what's being revealed here is that the universe is a whole living organism, and that the coherence throughout the organism is so superb. I mean, I know one physicist told me that every atom is connected to every other atom, so that everything that happens affects everything else that happens. Now, that means that degree of universal intelligence flows through you and me as well. It's not just the universe, it's us. We are the universe in person. So from the spiritual point of view, if this is the way we're looking at it, is that we are designed exquisitely to pick up the design of creation. That's what I believe.
And that's interesting. And I think going back into just the nature of the connectedness, especially on the quantum level, I mean, we know experimentally that you can separate a quark pair by thousands of miles, and whatever you do to manipulate one, the other one will react instantaneously.
That's right. So we're faster than the speed of light here, by far. In fact, it's quasi-instantaneous. And then there's a theory that Irvin Laszlo has put forward. It's called the Akashic Field, that the universe is self-remembering and self-recording. Everything that ever happened is recorded in the quantum field in some way. So the universe is getting ever more intelligent. And far from just running down to the entropic heat death, it's using up entropy to create syntropy. And there's one wonderful new book I've just read called Biocosm, which asks the question, why is the universe life-friendly? And out of that comes the idea that the whole of the universe is designed to produce intelligent life, which leaves its planetary womb, colonizes its solar system, and eventually reaches out and turns all matter into conscious life.
It's a beautiful thought. You know, that's what's so neat about science nowadays, is that it is getting back to many of the basic spiritual premises. You know, we're just talking about quantum physics here. It's essentially saying we are connected. We are one.
It is.
And for the purely secular scientists, I suppose this is a problem. For the rest of us, it's a pretty good thing.
You know, it's interesting that the fundamentalist religious people and the fundamentalist scientism both have a metaphysical preference which limits reality. Whereas there's this opening in people who, whether they're scientific or studying evolutionary biology or physics or just human evolution, are looking at this as a phenomenon of the universe. And, of course, what I think is that we're entering the evolution of evolution from unconscious to conscious choice. And that is a jump as big as the jump of language or, you know, photosynthesis, I think.
Yeah, I agree, and that's a very profound jump. And I think you're right as far as looking at fundamentalists, both on the religious side and on the science side. They both have a set of constraints by which they try and form all their beliefs into.
Mm-hmm.
And when things don't fit those constraints, it becomes very difficult to accept them. And
right.
I think one of the things we are seeing is an expansion of consciousness in a lot of places in the world where people are realizing that maybe it's time that we start looking at things in a new way.
And I think that the crises we're facing are helping this. For example, the very important failure of war to win anything. This is a huge step forward, because it's amazing that the hyperpower of the United States and Israel together can't win.
Yeah, it forces us to try to understand the other side, and I'm not saying the other side is right in
exactly
in all their thoughts and tactics and everything, because I abhor violence, but
that understanding becomes necessary.
Yeah, understanding is necessary, not
well,
just dominance.
On both sides, then, if violence is not the way, and certainly violence at the hyperpower, superpower level doesn't prevail, then it behooves us to look at new methodology. See, that's the whole thing.
No doubt about it, and it's time. And speaking of time,
we are up for a break.
Okay, good. So,
you're listening to The Cosmic Influence. My name is Jeff Pitino, and I'm here with our host, Walter Cruttenden, and our guest, Barbara Marks-Hubbard. If you'd like more information on Barbara, you can go to her website, barbaramarkshubbard.com, or evolve.org. And if you'd like more information on our program or the Binary Research Institute, you can visit our website at binaryresearchinstitute.org.
We'll be right back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
ByRegion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of ByRegion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.byregion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with co-host Jeff Pitino and our special guest today, Barbara Marks-Hubbard. Barbara's written several books. One is Conscious Evolution, and the other is Emergence. What's the subtitle of Emergence, Barbara?
The Shift from Ego to Essence.
That's something we need right now.
Before we get to that, Barbara, I'd like to talk about your new video series, Humanity Ascending, A New Way Through Together, because I just think it's very fascinating. I know for you, this is a legacy project. So let's talk a little bit about that and what the inspiration for it was and what the goal of this video series is.
Well, I've been developing a worldview of conscious evolution that starts with the big story, and then it goes into what kind of spirituality do we have, what kind of woman and man are we becoming, what kind of politics can we have, and what's our vision of the future. So the first of the series is called Our Story, and it goes for the 14 billion years into the current crisis and then imagines just briefly us becoming a universal species. And what's exciting about this, it's 40 minutes long, it's very artistic and poetically done. It's being sold all over the world right now. For example, they're going to be doing some kind of special development of it in South Africa. It's in Turkey, it's in Argentina, it's in Russia. Because the little DVD is easy to transport, and wherever people see it, they buy copies for their friends and family because it gives you a sense of direction and hope. So I'm very excited about the whole idea of spiritual cinema. And there are others, you know, that are, I'm in several movies now. I'm almost becoming a movie star. Another one is called One, I believe, and a couple of others that I've been in. And there's one called The Secret. And in South Africa, they're putting together The Secret and Our Story together. So I feel, that the DVD is a messenger, and we're calling it the Emissary Project. Anybody who sees it and likes it can become an emissary to help others see a conscious evolution, and then we'll invite people to Santa Barbara for a gathering. So the whole thing is going to be very exciting.
And is it your plan then to have a series of these?
Yes. The next one, well, the one I'm going to do next is called Visions of a Universal Humanity. And in that I'm going to say, what happens when we get around our turn in the spiral and we actually are on the other side, and we're not dead?
That actually was one of my questions for you, because I know you've described evolution as a series of spirals, and I'd like you to talk a little bit more about that. And I know in the first video you talk about where we are kind of coming out in this transitional phase, so where we would be going from there. But if you wouldn't mind start out, just tell us a little bit about how you developed the spiral theory.
Well, the spiral, I think I first learned it from Teilhard de Chardin and several other pioneers, is that when you look at the whole sweep of evolution, the best structure for it is the spiral, because it seems to keep advancing into more complexity, more consciousness, more connectivity, more freedom, and there seems to be a progressive direction to evolution, even though scientists who are fundamentalists will not agree to this. It seems perfectly obvious to me that from subatomic particles to us sitting here has been a rise of intelligence. And so I just have continued the spiral on because there's no reason why it would stop with you and me. So what kind of person are we becoming, presuming that we don't destroy ourselves? And I'd call it a universal human and a universal humanity. Well, the individual human is one who is connected to spirit directly, who is empathetic, who is awakened to life purpose, and so on. Now, the one called Visions of a Universal Humanity would be imagining all our new quantum capacities functioning, such as unitive consciousness as a steady state, such as zero-point energy, which completely changes the economic system to access of free energy, such as overcoming aging, such as non-human intelligence, such as nanotechnology that can build like nature does. And you put all of that together, you have a new species. And so what I'm going to do is identify people who are actually doing these things and have them speak briefly on what they see is now not even just a vision, but really happening.
When I hear the vision you have there of the evolving human or conscious person that we are, I can't help but think of the mythology, the Vedic teachings, and some of the other teachings regarding these stages that mankind goes through. And they say that in the Kali Yuga, the lowest, darkest age, which the Greeks also called the Iron Age, mankind is only aware of himself as a physical body living in the physical universe and has no knowledge of finer forces. And when he starts to come out of that age, it's not so much that things outwardly change as much as his perception of things change, in that he becomes aware of finer forces, electricity, magnetism,
right.
And that we're much more than the physical body, that we're energy. And of course, then this is just the second stage, and they go on and say we eventually realize ourselves as mind and then as spirit. But it seems like we're, the way you're describing it, we're in one of these pivotal changes where we're finally starting to realize we're something more than what we're told we are.
Exactly. We're more than the physical body. And I think that if you really look at evolutionary technologies, it's quite a mystery, because they're not usually included in the philosophical, spiritual discussion. But my reading of things like The Singularity by Ray Kurzweil, or Radical Evolution by Joel Garou, and other books like that, they're telling us that we are now entering into the process of designing life, of creating non-human intelligence that totally transcends human intelligence, and so on. And I would like to create a context for a gestalt on the emerging quantum. Now, when I say quantum, I mean they literally are a jump from here to there, making for radical newness. Now, in evolution, you see jumps to radical newness, like from pre-life to life. Life is radically new, but it does emerge out of complex, you know, molecules. Animals, humans are a jump from the most intelligent animal, but they're qualitatively new. I think we're qualitatively new now, but we just don't know it.
Well, there's one human that lived a long time ago, or maybe many, but one that you mentioned on your website here under evolutionary language. I see you have glossary, and you weren't afraid to talk about Christ capacities, which I find refreshing.
Yes.
And I'd like to talk about, you know, what really are the capabilities of an evolved human. But first we have to take a short break.
Okay.
And again, people that would like information on the show can go to...
If you'd like more information on our show, please visit our website, the Binary Research Institute's website, which is www.binaryresearchinstitute.org. And we have our guest today, Barbara Marks Hubbard, and her website is barbaramarkshubbard.com, or her other website is evolve.org.
And you're listening to Cosmic Influence, and we'll be right back.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration, and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crittenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time, at a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cretton with Jeff Pitino and special guest today, Barbara Marks Hubbard. Barbara, before the break, we were talking about where this is going, where we are evolving to, and I'd mentioned I saw on your website that you talked about Christ capacities, and I'll quote here very quickly: new physical capacities developed through radical evolutionary technologies to actually do the work that Jesus is said to have done, and even greater work, including virgin births, healing, producing in abundance, raising from the dead. It's okay. This is a show where we can have fun.
It's actually already happening, isn't it?
To some degree, it is. Yes.
I had a Christ experience way back in 1980. I saw a group of hang gliders jumping off a higher mountain, floating above the cross at Mount Calvary Monastery here in Santa Barbara. And I had a sudden image of mass metamorphosis, and that the story of the resurrection was a forecast of the complete and total transformation of our body and our mind. And I saw that the radical technologies combined with Christ consciousness, which would be a complete and direct contact with the Spirit, as well as love and compassion for all being, combined with these radical powers over the physical world, would make it possible for us to move beyond physical death, beyond planet boundedness, beyond scarcity, and all the miracles that Jesus did were like just patterns of what could be. And I think he was an early future human.
I couldn't agree more. Of course, secular teachings nowadays, or even a lot of fundamentalist teachings, are that these are just folk stories. This couldn't be true.
Although, you know, what's interesting is to touch on what you just mentioned, is one of the complaints that's often heard about technology is that we're like children with toys. We have all these toys, but we haven't yet developed the spiritual capacity to truly understand their power or what it is we're dealing with.
Well, I think that's true, because we haven't related our new capacities to our real higher consciousness. And those capacities have been co-opted by the war machine and consumerism and greed and power. But if you liberate those capacities from that limited mindset and guide them towards the evolution of humanity, the restoring of the earth, the freeing of people, and so on, you begin to see that they're the tools for conscious evolution.
I agree, and I think we are starting to see that. I think it's just a matter of reaching that critical mass.
Well, and the good thing for me about the crisis is that if we don't start using our powers wisely, those very powers will destroy us. And it's something like a newborn baby. You don't want it to be a monster. We're bordering on the monster right now. by our misuse of our power.
And yet we as a species seem to all be waking up and recognizing that, and it's a bit of a self-correcting process, assuming we take action.
Well, and because of the danger that we can now wreak upon ourselves as well as other species, the wake-up is a survival call.
Yeah,
it's not just an altruistic call or a spiritual call. It's a survival call.
I hear you. You know, it's actually, again, part of the ancient teachings that when you're in the early part of the Dwapara Yuga, as the Vedic or the Hindu culture calls it, it's a very dangerous time because you have all your material advancements, and yet you're starting to realize that you're capable of just about anything. And the two are a dangerous mix.
You know, there's this theory that one reason we haven't met other off-planet species like ourselves is that none of them made it to their high-tech phase. I mean, that's a kind of interesting thought.
That's an interesting thought. And another idea is that they're just sitting back enjoying the show. You know,
and there's, of course, the whole UFO, and there are many extraterrestrials already, and I have not personally encountered one, and I try to hold my belief system based on what I've experienced, but I'm certainly open to that.
I'm open to it, not because I've had a personal experience either, but just statistically, you know,
yes.
We had Jeff Marcy, the professor of astronomy at UC Berkeley, speak at our conference here a few weeks ago, and he has found more planets around other stars than any other astronomer in the world, he and his team, several hundred. And he says he's barely scratched the surface. And if you just take statistical odds that life might exist on one out of a million planets, you still have billions of opportunities for highly evolved life.
That's it. So I think my best understanding is let's grow up and find out. You know, they're not going to come in right now and tell us all what to do. And every time I hear somebody who's channeled a UFO, they tell us what we already know. I haven't seen one really interesting new information from these so-called channels. It's like cooperate, be good to each other, blah, 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 blah. I think you and I are as intelligent as any channel.
I definitely agree with that. Barbara, one of the things you've mentioned before as well is as we're kind of moving into this transitional phase and experiencing this expansion of consciousness and all these changes, it kind of also in some ways is a catalyst for the resistance as well. Like,
that's true.
And how do you think we'll eventually get beyond that?
Well, one thing I realize is that secular materialistic culture does not resonate to the spirit of humans. And because the spirituality of this emerging world is still so limited, like, you know, small radio stations, that people are left with secular materialism or fundamentalism. So they tend towards fundamentalism because secular materialism doesn't satisfy. And the liberal religions are fairly tepid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's a big gap here, it's what I'm calling evolutionary spirituality or the soul of evolution coming forward as something that can touch the average person.
That's a good point. And, you know, also just talking about religion outwardly itself is almost lacking because it's such a internal and personal experience. And I don't even prefer the term religion. I prefer the term spirit, but I can sense it throughout your work, and I really admire and applaud all the wonderful work that you've done, Barbara.
Thank you very, very much.
We, sadly, are out of time.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and I wish you all the very best, and you keep in touch with me and let me know about your work.
We will, definitely. Thank you very much being a guest on our show, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
And for our listeners, once again, if you'd like more information on Barbara Marks Hubbard, you can visit her website, barbaramarkshubbard.com. And if you'd like more information on Walter and I and the Binary Research Institute, visit the Binary Research Institute's website, which is binaryresearchinstitute.org.
And you've been listening to Cosmic Influence, and we will be right back.
Law
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with Jeff Pitino, and we'd like to remind you once again that if you have an interest in this work we're doing here, please feel free to visit our website, thebinaryresearchinstitute.org.
And also, if you have a guest that you think would be good for our show that you'd like to hear us interview, please go ahead and email us at radio@binaryresearchinstitute.org.
Great. And if you haven't read our book, Lost Star of Myth and Time, I hope you pick up a copy, because it really goes into the detail on many of the subjects that we bring up on this show. So once again, you've been listening to Cosmic Influence, and we hope you enjoy the show and will listen to us again. In the meantime, bring on the higher ages.